That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And good morning, Remnant, and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We are coming to you live this Saturday morning, December 10th, 2022. Got our hot coffee here, got our Bibles, and we've got a full crew on board for you this morning, Remnant, and we'll bring everybody on. And Brother Zach, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
And Brother Tim, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning.
And
good morning. Glad to be here.
Amen. And Brother Paul, thank you for being with us this morning. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
We say, Remnant, good morning to you. Good morning in Tennessee, and early morning out in California if you're tuning in with us. Little early out there, but good morning, Florida and New York and all points in between. We say good morning and welcome to the Remnant that joins us, broadcasting live on the Scriptures for America Worldwide Broadcasting Network, and we're glad you're here. We'll have the phone lines open this morning, plenty to talk about, plenty to pray about. We're going to open up in prayer, and again, Remnant, we hope that you have opened up your day in prayer. We encourage that. We're told to do that in the Word, whether we have concerns, issues, or just thankful that we open our eyes and we get another day. There's plenty to pray about, so we hope you'll join us. Well, Heavenly Father, thank you first and foremost for this day, for this another opportunity, Lord, to breathe in, to enjoy this great life that you've given us, this beautiful place to live. And Lord, thank you for another day to praise you and to share your goodness with others. We thank you for the opportunity to be here, to fellowship with like-minded believers, Lord, with Christian men that love you and that are not ashamed of you. And Lord, it is an encouragement, I know, to each and every one of us. And we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, for this land, for the people in this land, Lord, for repentance and a returning to you. Father, we read in your word that is what is needed, and so that's what we ask for. We ask your blessings on this broadcast, guide and direct us, and let all that we think, say, and do glorify you, Lord. And we praise you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
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 Amen. Well, again, Remnant, phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And got a bit, was glancing through Jeremiah this morning, and we've talked a lot out of Jeremiah. We read a lot out of Jeremiah because it applies so much, I think, for us today. I wanted to start out with just a couple of verses here, and it's a message to Judah's kings in Jeremiah 22. And the Lord tells Jeremiah, he says, go over and speak directly to the king of Judah and tell him, listen to this message from the Lord, the king of Judah. Let your officials and your people know. We've talked a lot out of Jeremiah. We read a lot out of Jeremiah because it applies so much, I think, for us today. I wanted to start out with just a couple of verses here, and it's a message to Judah's kings in Jeremiah 22. And the Lord tells Jeremiah, he says, go over and speak directly to the king of Judah and tell him, listen to this message from the Lord, the king of Judah. Let your officials and your people listen too. This is what the Lord says. Be fair-minded and just. Do what is right. Help those who have been robbed. Rescue them from their oppressors. Quit your evil deeds. Do not mistreat foreigners, orphans, and widows. Stop murdering the innocent. If you obey me, there will always be a descendant of David sitting on the throne. Then he goes on down, but if you refuse to pay attention to this warning, I swear by my own name, says the Lord, that this place will become a pile of rubble. And I think that that's what we have looking at us today. That these instructions are still there. They're still valid. This is still the word of God, as you put it, Zach, that you so often remind us, and rightfully so, this is the word that became flesh. And the message is still there today. I think our prayer it'd be a good prayer as we pray for our leaders to have them go to Jeremiah 22 and see that, and see the instructions that God gives to them even today. It's not it's a difficult thing to come against the world, but it's not a difficult thing to obey God. Do what is right. Help those that have been robbed. Quit your evil. Don't mistreat. It's not a difficult thing.
Well, I think when somebody reads a passage like that, they have a tendency to think that, you know, well, this is a warning and it's going to come down on me personally. And, you know, all too often we don't see that being the case. It's generally one or two generations down the road when God keeps his word. And therefore the people that are at the moment in the time, you know, they don't take heed to God's warning. And, you know, that's why the story of Josiah, King Josiah, he's one of the kings of Judah back in those days. You know, he read the law and he recognized what his grandfather had done, and he realized that he was in the sights of the destruction. Yes. And, you know, like I said in one of my messages, me personally, I'm in my mid-40s. My time was back in the 40s, 50s, and 60s, because that's when my grandparents and my parents were coming of the age and they were going to be setting up the future for us. And like my kids' time is now. My grandkids, they don't exist, is now, because I have to set it up for them. And if I don't take a warning and I don't repent and I don't choose my actions to bless them, then they will see the destruction. And that really is what the name of the game is. That's what we're all playing. You know, but I mean, people are so self-centered. They think me, 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 me. No, you know, your parents and grandparents set it up for you and I, and it's our job to turn it. You know, that's why when you read the story of Abraham, he never seen anything that God promised him. He never saw any of it, but he believed, and it was counted to him as faith. And I really think that's how we need to think about things. And that's the way I think about things. That's what motivates me every day when I put my boots on, because I recognize my parents and grandparents set it up for me, and this is just what I have to deal with, you know. And so I think that's a mindset. You see that changing. People are starting to say, you know, we got to worry about our children and our grandchildren, and their actions are a little bit different now. And you see that in the political realm, especially on the local level, you know, so things are changing. Things are going, you know, people are getting that mindset. So, you know, when you read that kind of stuff, no, it's about your kids. It's about your grandkids. They're the one that's going to suffer the consequences, whether it's positive or negative, on our actions today. That's my point of view.
Amen.
I think that's really accurate too. Yeah. The, you know, the whole Bible is about the future, learning from the past for the sake of the future, turning from your wickedness for the sake of your future, laying up treasure in heaven for your future. You know, I mean, those things are all, there's kind of a, is there a theme there? Yeah, it pretty much is. That's exactly right. So we have to depend on our God to take care of that. When we pray for things, so I, you know, most of the time it's tomorrow or, you know, next year, or there's that present tense is kind of what it is. It's the turning point, right?
Right.
So, yeah.
Well, he tells us, we read that in the New Testament, forgetting what lies behind and moving ahead, you know, looking forward to what is in front of us. You know, that doesn't mean that we literally, oh, forget everything that's ever happened and just, you know, just look ahead. No, we remember. We've all heard it. You know, if we don't, you know, we're doomed to repeat the past because we don't learn from our history. But when we do, when we see, that's what God is saying right here in Jeremiah 22, you know, geez, what, several thousand years ago. Just turn from your evil. You've been, when you read before, when you read through Jeremiah, the condemnation that God is bringing on Israel and Judah, he talks through here, I'm not going to heal her. I'm going to forget about her. Should I not have, you know, avenge myself on a people like this? He's brought drought. He has brought people from, the other nations against his people, all this. But here he says, just stop doing that. Stop being that way, and I'll forgive you. You know, just do what's right. If you do what's right, if you do these few things, simple things I tell you, you'll be blessed. It's a repeat. We see this over and over and over and over. Yeah, I like how you put it, Zach. It's not necessarily for us, but it's that we set it up for our children, for our grandchildren, for our posterity. Isn't that what the Constitution says, right? It's not so much for us, but it's we do these things for those that come after us. And that whole concept has just been lost on so many. You know, so many in the land today are just, you know, get it while you can, right? Get it while you can. Don't worry about tomorrow. Oh, none of us are guaranteed tomorrow. They might tell you that, so get it today, right? Eat, drink, and be merry. And there is more to it. There is.
Well, it's like Paul said, they're driving around with a bumper sticker on the back of their car, you know, saying, we're spending our green carrots because they're eating the increase out of the land now. So,
yes.
You know,
yeah. Amen. Well,
when I started,
go ahead, Paul.
When I started figuring things out, I was a little bit distraught with my dad and my church and stuff. Why didn't you teach me this stuff, you know? But then the Bible says there's a great fallen away. Now, that has to happen. You know, we can't blame the past for where our present day is, because we got laid in our lap for a reason, you know. America's been falling away since 1900, you know. It's just been creeping in. Now it's coming to a head. And, you know, the sons of Satan are raising their head, and they're not even ashamed of nothing, like what you were talking about earlier, America's best. Well, America, when you watch TV, a little bit, and it's turning black. Everything is black. And then the mongrels, it's just throwing it in our face like it's a normal thing. And I guess you just got to get it so bad you got to puke up your suit. That's what's happening. If you can't see it, there's something extremely wrong with you.
Amen. Amen. You know, here a few weeks ago, I had, I think I got it about 10 different times, a link for a video. The video is called Suddenly Dead, and it's an expose on vaccinations, especially the COVID-19 vaccine. And it is something, it is a new expose, you might say, but, you know, the story's nothing new. Pastor did his warning on vaccinations probably 30 years ago, if not 40 years ago in the 80s. And it still is valid today, and we still send that pamphlet out by the hundreds because people still request them. And, you know, about that time, Eustace Mullins did his book, Murder by Injection. Now, I don't have that book available anymore. I've got my personal copy. But when I read that, when I got that book from this ministry, that changed my life and my wife's lives and our children's lives. It opened our eyes, and so it's still, that truth is still coming out here a couple generations later for this new generation, doing it their way, creating this video and interviewing these people. And so when I saw, I got it, I saw it, I got texts, I got it emailed to me, I watched it. And then I turned around and sent it out to every email address I had that the ministry had. Send it to the prayer chain, send it to the newsletter group. And I had a neighbor that texted me the other day. And I just want to, let me share this text with you real quick. It's short. So my neighbor says, my life insurance man just sent this to me. And guess what video it was? Died suddenly. This is from her life insurance. This is a Christian couple, young couple, lives down the road. We've known them for a while. They've got a little boy, and they are anti-vaccine. They are. I mean, they're, and it's good to see that in a, you know, in this next generation. So she says, my life insurance man sent this to me. He said it's really bad. The system is trying to keep the question of, quote, did you receive a vaccine? They're trying to keep that question off of the life insurance screening because they're looking at declining people due to the 40% increase in mortality rate in 18 to 40-year-olds. Now, that's from the life insurance agent. He also said rate hikes are about to see an increase unlike ever before, all due to a, quote, a life-saving vaccine. And so it's not that... you know, we've talked about it before. What's the difference, you know, between a conspiracy theory and fact? Anymore, it's running about 6 months. Maybe it's down to four now. But more and more people, this truths, and this is just one of them, is coming out. More and more people are seeing it because, you know, because people are praying. People are praying the pistol prayer that the DC sorcery ceases, and it's happening. Two headlines just today. Fox News headline, a 48-year-old Grant Wall, American journalist in Qatar covering the big soccer to-do, drops dead. He dropped dead. They tried doing CPR on him for like 40 minutes, dead. Nothing to it. 48 years old. Other than that, the picture of health. And then another headline this morning, Henry Anderson, a professional football player with the Titans or somebody, I don't know, 31 years old, had a stroke. Guess what a stroke is? A blood clot on the brain. And so the Harry Anderson lived through it. The other guy died. Just today's headlines. And so, you know, we're seeing these things more and more and more and more, like was mentioned earlier. You know, these truths are coming out. One about that we have an enemy that hates us, and that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And, you know, for some of us that maybe you know, had the opportunity, the blessing to read Murder by Injection years ago, or, you know, to have your eyes open to this before. Anyway, it's still happening. You know, people are still waking up to these things, and that is encouraging to me.
In that book, it says there's not one case of cancer without a vaccination. Now, my whole generation has all been vaccinated, and there's cancer everywhere, and then they're just really getting vicious now with the blood clot thing trying to destroy us. I think they thought a lot more people were going to die with that, but, you know, God says we can take poison that won't destroy us. I don't know. Our food is poison. Everything is poison, but we're still I'm still living pretty decent. Could be a lot happier, I guess, if my neighbors were happy. But anyway, a lot of this stuff has to happen. If God wanted you vaccinated, he would have done it before he created you. So, you know, they take all this food and destroy it. We got a big milk plant here. I'd always drive around and buy it. I said, it was milk before it went in there. And they just destroy it and sell it at a big price. It's kind of sickening.
It's just amazing to me, and I, you know, we claim that poison situation daily in our prayers, because and I've said it before. I've said, you know, that if we could sit in a corner, you know, be the fly on the wall, proverbially, or whatever, so to speak, and look at our enemy, I'm absolutely convinced that they just sit there and shake their head. It's like, what does it take to kill these guys, you know, or to destroy them? I mean, We brainwash their kids. We destroy their financial system. We feed them bad food. We kick the props out from them every available opportunity, and they just keep on rolling. You know, it's such a profound blessing from God. That's all it. It hasn't got anything to do with you. I mean, it's that promise that God can't break, that he made, that he would take care of his children, and that there would always be a remnant. And he's good to his word, and aren't we glad? So,
amen.
In the news about with what kind of goes in line with what Zach was saying earlier about, you know, the tomorrow, there's a movie out there called The Tomorrow War. And I got news for you. You're in the middle of it right now, The Tomorrow War, the things that are going on. The monsters are here. But one of the articles was that, according to them, is that 9 million millennials have moved back in with their parents this year. And, you know, and so there's a big stink about it. And, they give the reasons, to save money was 51% of them, and couldn't afford rent was 39% of them. And, you know, when you look at that, rents have gone up just insanely, in some cases doubling in some areas, but so they can't afford rent. Does that make the millennials bad people? No, I mean, but it's certainly strange how these things can happen. And when you think about it, rents haven't really, the house is either paid for or the payments are the same. How is it that the rent has to go up that much or double? Or is it because it can? Is it because it has to? A lot of greed there, a lot of those kind of things going on. You know, I mean, there's a balance that goes on, and it's one of those things. And the other thing is to me, it's a little bit of poetic justice. A lot of these millennials' parents depended on the state to train them and on the state to feed them and on the state to educate them and get them jobs. And guess what? That's not working. They didn't put any time into training them in God's ways, in what God expected, in what they needed to do or anything else. And what's the old saying? The chickens have come home to roost. You know, I mean, it's like, well, there you go. So now you can live with the mess that you created, you know, and it's a little bit of poetic justice in some ways, I think. So, I realize that there are exceptions. And
sure.
Stuff, but, you know, it's interesting.
I agree with you, Tim.
Everybody.
Go ahead, Paul.
Go ahead.
No, you
I said everybody should own a flock of sheep for a little while, because if God tells us sheep, you'll know exactly why we are what we are. First of all, the first thing that motivates a sheep is food. And they're very, very simple, and they can be, well, they're just naive, I guess, and that's why they need a shepherd. I drive down the road with my Chevy pickup, and I don't know how many Chevy pickups go down the road every day, but when mine went by, them sheep came flying because they wanted food, you know, and it's just that simple. And we're extremely naive. I told a guy a while back, I said, you consider them people your enemies until they prove otherwise. I mean, we are naive bunch. You know, we don't want to believe they're evil. We don't want to believe Joe Biden's evil. Look at him. He's pathetic. And the whole country is that way. And like Zach says, it's turning around at the grassroots, and that's what will change it. It ain't going to come from the top down, because they're in it for themselves. The only bond in Washington is money. So they don't even love each other.
Right. Yep. Yeah, they don't even like each other.
Yeah, they don't.
Exactly right.
You know, they don't. We've seen that with, you know, congressmen and congresswomen coming out of the Democrat Party. And when they do that, oh, my gosh, they're just they turn on them like white on rice. You know, there's no love lost. You're absolutely right. They don't even like each other. They don't. You know, Tim, back to what you were talking about, the millennials, you know, I agree with you. I think that the other thing that's coming to light is that promise of a college education, right? Go to your 4-year, 5-year, 6 years, get your college education, then you'll get a good paying job, and all your dreams will come true. All that's fallen through. It's being exposed as a lie. You know, when you look at the statistics, the number, and I don't want to just throw a number out because I don't remember exactly what it was, but it's over 50%. I remember that, of, you know, people that graduate with college degrees, and it's been that way for the last like 16 or 18 years. It's over 50% that they do not get a job in their field. You know, whether it's, we joke about the underwater basket weaving and, you know, the liberal arts and all that, and they don't. You know, they get 6-year master's degree in communications. So what are you going to do with that? Oh, maybe I'll be a teacher at $24,000 a year. You know, it just that lie, yeah, is coming forth. You know, they believed it hook, line, and sinker. And now you got these 20 and 30 year olds that have done the school thing. They've done the education. They've got their 4-year degree. Well, you know, I decided, I don't know how many people I've heard tell me that. Well, I'm going to go back and get my teaching degree. I'm going to go back and get my master's. And so they've been in school for 10 years, college, higher education, and you know, what are they doing? They're working they're the two checkout, working the checkout at Safeway or at Walmart or something like that. And they've moved back in with their parents because they can't afford. Yeah, they can't afford to live on their own because they believe the lie. I can tell you in contrast, I talk a lot when I get the opportunity. The Bible uses a lot of contrast. In contrast to those educated idiots, and it's a generalization. It's not all of them, but those that have done that. You got the tech schools, the trade schools, and we've got a local one here. And I know some young men that have gone through that, the diesel, the automotive repair, and that. And let me tell you, they're doing great. They've got their bills paid. They're buying new vehicles, and they're not living with their parents. And those that aren't afraid to work, guess what? They've got jobs. And those that didn't, you know, those maybe they've been ridiculed. Maybe they were ridiculed because they had dirty hands. But they're working, and they have good paying jobs, and they are providing. And they are getting ready for families and things like that, and not running back to mama, so to speak. And so it's available out there. It's not that it's 100% either way. it's a choice, just like we read in the Word. It's a choice. You know, if you choose to not believe the lie, well, there's a lot of truths and blessings out there.
Yeah, I think it's funny because you know, they talk about that dirty hands, clean money, and mm-hmm. this and that, and it's a recycle, because when I was a kid, we had the dirty shirts and the suits. You know, I can remember. Does yeah. anybody else remember
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
I mean, that was you know, it was like, well, he's a dirty shirt or he's a suit, you know, and
right.
It was the same thing. That was that delineation between the fact that, you know, you were a professional, you know, suit, or you were a guy who worked for a living, and you know, your shirt was dirty at the end of the day. So, I can tell you there was just as much disdain for one or the other from the sides back then, and that's been, you know, 30, 40 years ago. But I remember those kind of terminology. So they changed the names, but the jobs have remained the same. You know. So.
Amen. Amen.
We used to do tree work for this.
What's that?
We used to do tree work for this guy. They had a foundry, and there's two old guys, and the guy comes out, you know, he'd been to the foundry, and they get kind of, you know, sick talking about a dirty shirt. They get it. Well, those two guys owned that place, and they're right in there working with their people. But that's the kind of business that are being sold out to the corporations, and they're just destroying it. They sell them out their heritage. You know, people, yeah, they get this big buck for their company, but their kids have no future. And this is going on all the time. Yeah, the corporations are more than glad to suck them up, you know. But
yep.
They'll pay big money for it just to shut it down.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
We see that with farmland all over. You know, you get, especially, we've talked about that before, the farmland being converted to solar and wind, where you can't grow crops on it anymore. We see that all over. Every time I drive through Colorado, I see more of these solar panels going up, and it's less farmland, and that's happening all over the country. And it's just a quick fix for now.
If they really were productive, they could put them on junk ground. You know, the sun shines on both.
Right.
But they're putting it right out in some of the prime stuff.
Right.
You know, they
yeah, that's a question point
either.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're trying to get one in right now. They're trying to get one in that's going to cover 16,000 acres out this way somewhere here. And they don't even have a contract for it. It's funny. None of the utility companies are signing on, but this development company wants to do that. And I was like, no, that's weird. I mean, where does the money come from in this market situation today to build something like that? How is it that, you know, well, what's your business model? Oh, I don't know. We're just going to build it. No, we're just going to drop millions of dollars and build it and hope that works out. If you ever had walked into a bank and tried to do something like that, or any kind of financial market with no business plan, you know, as far as this is the beginning and this is our marketing strategy, you know, and you didn't have one, they'd laugh you out of that place. But no, not these guys. I mean, that shows you that it's an agendized construct there in and of itself, you know, that it's just like, yeah, we're just going to build it. So, and of course, we're going to get some kind of government subsidy, I'm sure, out of the deal too. So, which is what it's all about. That's why they don't care whether there's any market for it. So take the money and run.
The township I live in, they got $800,000. They didn't need it. And they said, why'd you take it? Well, if we didn't take it, somebody else would. Now, this is the whole mentality of people. I mean, you know, they think that government, they just got to take that money because it's handed to them. There's a fuss with every damn penny that the government gives you. I don't care what you say. There's a fuss. And people don't have to take it, you know. There's ways.
That's right.
Make a living.
That's exactly why I quit the fire department, because the fire department took a bunch of federal money for the Homeland Security deal there back in the early 2000s. And then everything changed from that point. We had to answer, and like all the continuing ed stuff changed. And, you know, we were a volunteer fire department, but when they took that money, everything changed, all the politics of it, everything. And it just got to the point. I remember there was me and one other old boy in there. Like we'd be sitting there voting on stuff, and I would like me and one other guy were voting no. And, you know, it changed everything, and I couldn't stand being around it anymore. And, you know, so there are strings attached that comes with that federal money. And there is a cost, and, you know, that's just my little story of what I witnessed. You know, I mean, they're changing the rules on all that stuff. There's a lot of guys that are fire one and two qualified that we were supposed to have that forever. And now if we don't do the continuing ed, and I'm pretty sure it's because of that federal money, I'm out of it. I've been out of it for 10 years. You know, they're taking that away from the guys. And, you know, it just took all the motivation to be there. It took it all away.
Absolutely. It's all about control, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That golden rule thing. He who has the gold rules.
Yeah.
They think.
You know, back to that, those millennials moving back home because they can't afford the rent. My wife and I were talking to this girl that worked at a, she was a checkout girl at a grocery store, and she was complaining. And I asked her, I'm like, you know, what's the tip? And she was talking about, you know, the rent. And she was saying that there was three people living in this house, and this was a college age girl. And so, you know, maybe 21, 22, whatever. And she was telling me and my wife that the rent for this place, each one of them was paying like $1,000 a month for their little, you know, little room that they got in this house. And this one little building was, you know, generating $3,000 a month. And I sat there and, you know, here she is, she's, you know, checking out groceries for people. And I was like, you know, I felt bad for her. Cause like when I was her age, you know, I think I paid like $400 a month, you know, but I was making $25 an hour or $24 an hour. You know, I mean, I could swing that. And you know what I mean? Here she is. I just thought it was terrible, you know? And, you know, I think those people get a little bit of a bad rap, but, you know, I mean, how much can you make going to school and checking out groceries? I know it ain't that much. And, you know, it's just a mess. And, you know, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. I wouldn't want to get started the way, you know, they're trying to get started the way they're told. I mean, it's a joke. And, you know, you're right. I mean, it's tough. But it just goes to show that God keeps his word. And it goes to show that the generations that are coming are going to be the one that pays. You know, it's like it says in Deuteronomy 28, I will take great delight in destroying you because you don't follow my law. So, you know, you can see it happening, but most people don't recognize it. And that's exactly what's going on. So, and it's our job to educate people that way. That's why we're here.
Yes. Well, and you're absolutely right. I mean, you see these things go on, and you're just like, well, how does that work? I mean, I know out there in Colorado in a couple of areas, I had family that was working out there, and one of those things, you know, they're working as waitresses or one thing or another, but you've got three of them living together for a little two-bedroom apartment. They could barely swing it. And there isn't anything else any cheaper. That's the cheapest place you could find. So how is it that, you know, it's some more of that wicked evilness that these towns, these cities, they all want to destroy everything. And they don't want any lower income areas, but they want all the service help. And that's the problem with the service-oriented society. You know, traditionally, if you study economy, the richest, and I still think it's, to me, it's just a sign of God's way, but the richest economies in the world are agricultural based. The second richest economies in the world are industrial based. So that's where all the money's at. And the poorest economies in the world are service economies. Think India, think, you know, these other, there's examples of it all over. And then you look at these countries, and if you really look at the macro picture, if you zoom out and look at that, you'll see that these countries that are ag-based, they're clean, they're cordial, they're, you know, down to earth, not in a tree hugger sort of way, but in a real sort of way. They're worried about the land from the standpoint of future generations and productivity. And you can't really have an ag economy without having some manufacturing go on too, because you got to have outputs for your ag, and you've got to have inputs for your equipment to grow. It's a very self-contained ecosystem that God created. Service economies are strict. They're leeches. They're parasitical. They consume everything and produce nothing. So, you know, it's just, I laugh at, you get flyers from banks and the like, for example, and they say, well, let us tell you about our products that we offer. It's like, what product? You don't make anything. That's just kind of a little ran over, I guess, but anyhow, it does exist.
Well, all the money comes from agriculture. This is where you're talking about productivity as opposed to communism. A service company will probably always end up communistic because they're living off someone else's labor, and where agriculture is productive. When you can put one seed of corn in the ground and get a 400 to 600% return, you can't make a living. There's something seriously wrong with your economy. And this is what doing. There was a guy out in Iowa, he comes on the ministry. I used to meet him up in Wisconsin and stuff, and he was farming 900 acres of row crops and just going broke. I said, well, why don't you sell half of them, do something different, raise some vegetables or something? And, well, he come into this show down here in Grand Rapids we have every December, and he came into the thing, and he says, Paul, I did what you said, and I'm making money. You know, being big isn't good. You know, there's a big farmer in the area. You know, I says, you know, big farmer just more of the same. Make sure you get the first acre right. He looks at me and says, yeah, you're right, and that big is nothing but ego. I mean, there's people here milking thousands of cows. You know, they think they're on top of the world, but the good farmers are probably milking a couple hundred cows with machinery. That's not ordinary, but them are family farms that are very productive. See, if you have a bushel of wheat that's worth a shekel, where's the value? The value's in the wheat. It ain't a shekel. You know, you can't eat a shekel. So it's always about productivity. You know, and this whole thing, your book that Jason was putting out, you know, garden in your backyard, you know, we can change the world that way. You think you got to be big and powerful. You don't, because the hair root feeds the big oak. You know, it all starts at the ground level. That's why this town, the county I live in, when you have a turnover of commissioners, 8 out of 9, that's a really refreshing thing to me, because people have had enough. Now, do they know what they're talking about? No, but they know it's not right, like I was 30 years ago. So at least it's happening, and you can talk to people better now than you ever could.
That is a true fact.
Yes.
Yeah. They're definitely everybody's kicking around and going, hey, I what's going on? So so that's a real a real blessing. So I mean, as far as just the ability to, well, and the other thing is if they're doing that, they're crying because they're not looking for a response. Or for a reason, without crying out that it's wrong. That's an internal thing. And God says he'll hear when we cry out, you know. So there you go.
No, it's all spiritual. It all comes back to, you know, you reap what you sow. And that's why we need an awakening to change this country, because it ain't going to come from the top down. It's all spiritual. What are you made of? Why do you live? You know, what do you do? It's simple. It's very simple. It's just a little too simple to believe. And the answer
ain't simple. Simple things confound the wise, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So, well, and talking about from the top down and the bottom up, and I agree wholeheartedly, but one of the things I noticed years ago was, you know, we had lots of little towns around, and they were all pretty thriving. They were, you know, they weathered things well. They were small. There were businesses there. In some cases, even, I mean, when was the last time you seen a town with 500 people in it with a car dealership in it? You know, I mean, there was stuff like that, you know, that went on. There were grocery stores, there were newspaper offices, there were, I mean, these little towns were just little snapshots of Americana. They had everything that, you know, they had an auto parts store, they had a maybe a car dealership, a tractor dealership or whatever. And that was all from the ground up. People bought, and people say, well, you know, buy local. And those people did. That's why that stuff was there. And then they came in and they came in with the Economic Development Act in order to develop these large towns from the federal level down. And all these towns started an economic development corporation, and of course they got government grants, and the things that went on in order to obtain those grants were just, they were just insane. I mean, it was like, well, how is that going to help? But, you know, 10 years later, those towns were broke. I mean, they didn't have any dealerships, the grocery store was gone, but they had new saplings planted in the sidewalks on the downtown walkway, you know, or they had, that's a perfect example of the top down versus bottom up example of what happened. I mean, the one makes cash and grows, and the other one is all crash. You know, it's just like, seeing that go on, it was like the minute they started in on that game, that town, that was the final nail in the coffin, you know, it was gone.
Well, think about insurance. You know, this guy's sending your neighbor these things. Insurance has destroyed this country. Car insurance destroyed responsibility, and health insurance destroyed your faith in God. There is no insurance. A limited liability corporation. Well, you're totally liable for what you do. This is all stuff that is just, in the Christmas coming up, it just makes me want to puke in my soup. People are looking at it. Everything is about something other than Jesus Christ. You know, Scrooge, I always say people, the happiest day of my life is December 26th when it's all over and everybody gets depressed because it's really phony, the whole thing. You know, they got all their houses decorated. Oh, you got to have that Christmas spirit. Well, maybe not, you know, because we're definitely off track. This country is so far off the tracks. I don't know if we put it back. We're going to put it back. God ain't going to abandon Israel. He's been with us since Abraham. You know, when you talk about the size of the farms, it don't really matter how big they are. It's how good they are. I'll bet you Abraham had a lot of land, you know, and a lot of wealth and stuff, but he had faith on top of all of it. So that was what made him different. And that's what we need. He wants us to be prosperous. He don't want us to be broke, begging for, you know, paying $1,000 for a little cell that you have a key to. You can go out when you want to and think you're free. He doesn't. That wasn't his plan for us.
Agreed. Agreed.
He wants us to sit under our own vine. You know, some people need bigger than a garden to make themselves happy. You know, you can't condemn anybody, really, you know, because they don't always know what they're coming from. But if greed is your bottom line, that's totally wrong.
Yep, you're right. It'll destroy you. Oh, and the Bible tells us it's the root of all evil, greed. I mean, you know, that business with that. You know, and if you don't have greed, all these things will be added unto you. I mean, that's kind of a summary, but, you know, it's no less true.
Oh, it is. You know, God puts it in the proper order.
Each of us. And he also applies everything to the individual. The yardstick, you know, he gives each one what they're able to handle. Like you said, Paul, Abraham, I'm sure he had a lot of ground. Another guy down the road may have been a good person too, and a godly man, but he may not have had half what Abraham had, but maybe he wasn't able to handle that, you know? So it's more about what are you able to use that God gives you to the maximum ability that you have. And God will give you that much. And, you know, as you gain, as you learn, as you gain more, as you need more, he will add more to you. So, you know, that's why being bitter and being jealous of your neighbor is condemned. I mean, it's like, well, maybe you ought to look in the mirror and go, well, God, I guess I'm not able to handle that yet, right?
Right.
Yeah. What can I do to better myself, you know? be better usable in your kingdom. So.
Well, guys, we're about out of time. Sure appreciate it. Appreciate everybody joining in this morning. And Remnant, hope it was an encouragement to you. Got my batteries charged back up. And so, guys, hope you have a blessed weekend. And again, thanks. And Remnant, join us at church tomorrow. We will have a live church service for you tomorrow. You can join us. If you want to drive in, just let us know. We do ask that so we know to expect you. But you don't have to drive all the way out to Colorado. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. You can click on the live stream starting at 8:30 a.m. Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern, 7:30 on the West Coast. We'll have a live review of the news for you or a little insight and study. We'll follow that with a timeless pulpit truth message. And then we'll have a live message for you tomorrow as well. And so, as well as giving you the opportunity, and that's how we look at it. That's how we should, to examine ourselves, to make sure that we are that we're on the right track, that we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm talking about partaking of communion. And we do that every week at church. And so we do invite you to join us. And good Lord willing, looks like good weather. Don't think the road will freeze. So we're planning on being there. And we hope you'll join us. And again, that you can do that at scripturesforamerica.org. If you don't have good internet, if you can't join us there, for video and or audio, those are both streamed. We also record the messages and come back to the office on Monday and send out the DVD church. And so many people get that. We send hundreds of those out on Mondays. And so if you'd prefer to get DVD church, just let us know, and we'd be glad to put you on that list and send the DVDs to you. Well, thanks again. God bless. And Remnant, we ask for your prayers here at the ministry. Know that we pray for you, the Remnant, for God's blessings and protection to be upon you.
Rolling, stay high.
This country stolen, keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and free together, make them hell send forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride. They're disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them.